Hey, everybody, welcome in. Thank you, listeners, who have stayed with me through all of these candidate forums, giving abundant airtime to opposing candidates. You know it. It's Tuesday. This is Speak Up, and my name is Barbara. Today's program is with the two candidates competing for your vote to be the Republican nominee on the November ballot for Bonner County Clerk. You know, our county clerk positions across Idaho fulfill many important duties with their deputy clerks and staff. Our current clerk is retiring, so we have two candidates who want to be your clerk and nominated during the primary and elected in November. They are Roger Rudd and Spencer Hutchins. We have a series of questions lined up for them to help you know them better, so stay tuned in and we will be right back.
Spring has definitely sprung at Winter Ridge. The tables are back out in front for sunny sipping, eating, and chatting. We have non-GMO vegetable and flower seeds from several companies, as well as garden starts from Red Wheelbarrow Produce, and we'll be getting more in as the month progresses. The deli has started having grill specials. Take a look at the menu. Hot and delicious rotisserie chickens are for sale every day. Check out the top of the hot food bar in the late afternoon. They sell out quickly. Winter Ridge, local, natural, delicious, on the corner of Lake and Boyer and Sandpoint.
There's something special rising at The Forge Artisan Pizza. Every pizza and bread starts with authentic sourdough made using flour from wheat grown and milled in Italy. Fresh, locally sourced organic ingredients are used whenever possible, bringing incredible flavor to every bite. Enjoy artisan pizzas, fresh salads, house-made pasta, and delicious desserts, all served in a warm atmosphere with outdoor patio seating. Open Thursday through Monday, close Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Experience handcrafted flavor at The Forge Artisan Pizza in Sandpoint.
Spring into a whole new healthier you at Natural Fitness Gym. Hi, this is Sean. We have two great locations in Sandpoint on Superior Street and in Ponderé on Schweitzer Plaza Drive. Summer is right around the corner. Natural Fitness stands by ready to help you get in shape. Whether you're just starting out or a fitness expert, climb on board the latest high-tech strength and cardio machines. We have affordable membership rates and members have 24/7 access. If you need more information, stop by and see us at one of our locations or visit us at naturalfitnessgym.com.
It's time to move your fires outdoors. The Stove Corral reinvents your outdoor living space with a fire garden chat table, fire pit kit, or a fireplace the whole family will love. A fire garden features mesmerizing flames and customizable burners, whether gas, wood, or electric, and handcrafted in the USA. The Stove Corral will help you design your dream fire garden outdoors. Visit the showroom on McNerney Road just off Kootenai Cutoff. You are the heart of your home. Let the Stove Corral keep you warm.
Did your boat leave you stranded last summer? Don't let that happen again. Let Wheels and Waves get your boat ready for summer fun. As an authorized Mercury dealer for parts and service, we have everything you need to ensure your boat is in tip-top shape for the water. We also have new Aloha Tri-Tune pontoons and Edge aluminum duck boats available for sale and ready for the water. Call us at 208-818-4767 or stop by and see us in Sagal at 43 Algoma Place. Get ready to make waves this summer with Wheels and Waves.
Lanikay Realty has a beautifully crafted custom four-bedroom, two-bath home situated on five level acres with southern exposure in the desirable Moe Springs area with a price reduction down to $745,000. Located near local restaurants, a brewery, Schweitzer Ski Resort, and a nearby golf course, this property perfectly balances privacy, recreation, and accessibility. A rare combination of quality construction, accessibility, lifestyle, and views. This property is a must-see. See the professionals at Lanikay Realty. LanikayRealty.com.
News Talk 97.1.
All right, everyone, welcome back in. Join me now and say hello to Spencer Hutchins and Roger Rudd, who want to be your Bonner County clerk. Welcome to the program, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Thank you. We're going to start with you guys introducing yourselves to the audience. Roger Rudd, we'll start with you.
Okay. Thanks for having me, Barbara. My name is Roger Rudd, and I'm a retired Marine Lieutenant Colonel, a Bonner County resident, and I'm running for Bonner County Clerk in the May 19th Republican primary. Most people don't think much about the clerk's office until they need it, until they're recording a deed, checking on a court case, or casting a ballot. And when that moments come, they need that office to work perfectly, no drama, no errors, no politics. I spent 30 years in the Marine Corps being responsible for exactly that kind of precision, leading teams, managing complex operations, being accountable when it mattered most. Mike Rosedale, who has run the office with distinction for 12 years, personally recruited me and has endorsed me to carry that work forward. That endorsement means a lot to me, and I intend to earn it every single day. So I'm here today because the people of Bonner County deserve a clerk who's ready on day one, and I am.
All right. Roger Rudd, thank you very much. Spencer Hutchings, introduce yourself.
Good morning. I'm Spencer Hutchings. I've been a Bonner County resident for about 14 or 15 years and kind of had my eye on the clerk's office for quite some time, but Roger always did a great job. So since he's retiring, I thought now is a good time to do it. I have an extensive experience with budgeting, accounting, auditing, which is a large portion of what the clerk does, tracking stuff. I'm a federal firearms licensee, so I'm very familiar with having paperwork that has to be perfect because we all know when you do gun stuff, it's got to be perfect. I have an extensive experience dealing with all types of personalities. Used to do a lot of computer stuff that if you've ever dealt with a computer person, we all know how interesting and different they can be at times, and dealing with everybody from the very technical computer people to just simple office workers has been something I've prided myself in for a long time. I can pretty much get along with anybody on a job and help them do their job. So I want to take that experience to Bonner County.
All right, Spencer, keeping it with you, how would you describe your management style in a clerk or an office setting?
My management style starts with learning what everybody does. And I like to take the time with all of the employees, spend an entire day with them and watch how their day begins and what they do throughout the day and kind of absorb the processes that they have in their duties each day and see if I can spot any obvious opportunities for improving it or helping them with their job or, you know, solicit feedback from them for what they think would make their job easier or better. And going through the departments and doing that with each person, generally you get to a pretty good idea of what the load is on each person by spending the time with each person. And it also helps me to get into a position where if that person is ill or gets hit by a bus or something, hopefully I can step in and at least at some level do their job or have the skill set to do their job for a period of time while we get them replaced or we get somebody else to move in and do their job. So learning what they do, learning how they do it, learning their load level of, you know, how hard they're actually working at their job. I think that gives me a unique perspective in how hard everybody's working and how they're doing their job. And then I can kind of tailor what everybody's load should be going forward. You know, usually when you do that, when you spend the time with the people, somebody's working harder than somebody else. Usually it's multiple people. Some people generally are not. And by spending the time with them, by spending a full day with them, you usually get a pretty good idea of that. So that's kind of how I like to start.
All right, Roger, the same question you, Roger Rudd. What's your management style?
So management style is going to encompass three different things inside the clerk's office because you're not really going to be a day-to-day manager like at a fast food restaurant. But you need to provide a clerk's office with leadership, vision, and management, so combined in one person. That's why the job is an elected official position, because of the importance that goes into leading the office, because you got the clerk of the district court, you have the auditor's office, you have the recorder's office, you have the responsibility of clerking for the Board of County Commissioners, and then you also have the responsibility of being the chief elections officer. So management is encompassed inside the leadership and the vision. And I say that because you want to have the vision of we want to be the best clerk's office there are in 44 counties.
I think we are.
Yeah, I agree with you. So we want to keep that vision forefront in our day-to-day operations. And I want the management portion of the clerk's job to be fulfilling to the people that are working there. So I want to encourage them to do the best that they can. And I want them to have metrics so that they know when they're doing the best that they can. So they know that when they come into work, this is what you're going to be doing for today or for the week or for the month. And that they have ability to measure their own performance and say, I've done a really good job today. And then as a leader, you want to remind people when they're doing a good job and just I want them to wake up and smile in the morning and be excited about coming to a very inviting office, whether it's going to be inside the auditor's office, the elections office, or down at the courthouse, which has the biggest group of people, 25 folks down there. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Roger, keeping it with you, because Spencer mentioned, getting to know the jobs of the individuals. And I'm interested if either of you, both of you, have spent time during this time before the election talking with Mike Rosedale, the clerk, or any of his senior deputies that are the actual comptroller and the different people or staff. So keeping it with you, have you spent time interviewing them and talking to them before even the election?
Okay, so
Roger.
Yes. So the question, yes, when I was approached by Mike Rosedale to run for the job, we sat down, we talked about it, went home, prayed about it with my wife, my kids, my family, and found it to be a door of opportunity to open up and do work for Bonner County citizens. Once I filed to run, I called all the department heads individually and said, hey, is there a time that we could meet? Not through Mike Rosedale. I called Cindy and recording Terry down in
elections
and then all the department heads. The one department that I did not visit with, and I just went in there and said, hey, can you guys, I filed to run as county clerk. Can you just give me a broad level 101 of what the office does to support the Bonner County residents? And I received all that. I did not visit the courthouse because Joanne Guzzi was a candidate of ours to run against both of us for Bonner County clerk. When she dropped out that night, I said, hey, would it be okay if I come visit you since you're not going to run anymore? I didn't want to make her or anybody in the courthouse uncomfortable by an unsolicited visit.
Okay.
But once she dropped out, so I went down to the courthouse and got a walk through there and got a super wavetop run of what they do.
All right. Same Spencer. Same question to you, Spencer. Have you done that already?
Well, I think I might have taken a different view of this. You know, Roger was recruited by Mike to apparently take over for him. It's like he feels
to run.
Like, well, Mike is, they're both kind of acting like it's already a given thing. And to me, it seemed inappropriate to, I mean, I know a lot of these people, I've interacted with them over the years, but it seemed inappropriate to go in acting like I'm already the new boss and talk to these people. And I thought it would be a little intimidating to them if I went in and said, I'm running for clerk and I could be your new boss. Tell me about your job. It just seemed inappropriate. So I didn't do that. There's plenty of time between the primary and when I would actually take seat in the office to have meetings with these people and talk about it. Generally what I did, or most of what I did, was read all of Title 31 and read most of the Idaho code that pertains to the office and what the office is supposed to do. And there's plenty of time between May 19th and the end of the year to meet with all these department heads.
All right, Spencer, keeping it with you, there are five main departments. There's the clerk's office is just really so much bigger, I think, than a lot of people realize. So many responsibilities on the clerk, but on all of these deputy clerks and staff. Of the five main departments, is there one whether you think it just needs to be emphasized more, improved more, or it's just something that, you know, your heart, is there one that you feel that you, not that you're not going to pay attention to all of them, but one that comes to mind that you'd like to kind of get into a little bit?
Well, I'm going to emphasize the one that Title 31 emphasizes, which is the role of auditor, which doesn't seem to be one that has been overly emphasized to date now, even with Mike.
Are you talking about an external auditor?
No, I'm talking about internally auditing the departments, being an internal auditor. I mean, Title 31 does
day-to-day,
every little penny coming in and out. Title 31 doesn't really say you're a county clerk. I think it's in there twice. But most of the time when the Title 31 refers to the county clerk, they call them an auditor. So that puts an emphasis on tracking money, auditing flow of cash. And I think that's probably the number one most important thing from my perspective. But I think from the perspective of the public, what is probably the most important thing is election integrity and how the elections are run. So that's, you know, I have been a poll worker multiple times. And I'm really familiar with that process and really familiar with how technology plays into securing the elections. So I think those two things, with my own personal being auditor and probably the public's emphasis being elections.
All right. The same question to you, Roger. Of the five departments, is there one that you would like to look at first? Or just, they're all important, but emphasize one.
Yeah, that's the point. It's, they're all very, very important. I would say, like Spencer was talking about, the finances and the accounting that the clerk does as the auditor for the county is very, very important. The functions that they do is on a day-to-day basis in accounting for the finances and accounting for the monies, the revenues coming in and the monies going out. So auditing in that sense is kind of an archaic term because it's done on a daily basis by the four people that run the office right now. So you got somebody that's working the payroll, you got somebody that's working the batch files, paying demand claims and those paying the other stuff. So they have roles and responsibilities in it right now. Very, very important. Run the finances and the accounting and tracking the money that's coming in and going back out to the taxing districts. As well, as Spencer said, the elections office is very, very important as well because it's forward facing and the public is very involved and very concerned about security of elections that we do in Bonner County and nationally for that matter. So they're all very important. I don't want to say one is more important than the other. They all perform a very specified function according to their roles.
All right, very good. I think just for the audience, we're getting close to a break here. I think I'm going to mention that just for my listeners that the county commissioners are responsible to hire an external auditor, someone that, you know, the clerk has no control over who that external auditor is, the firm that does it. That would be a conflict of interest. But the county commissioners hire an external auditor, and that external auditor comes in, and he or she, the firm, audits the day-to-day, quote-unquote, auditing that the clerk's office has been doing and the staff all along. I think just, yeah, that word audit is a little bit strange. But so an external auditor is hired by the county commissioner, and they come in and they audit. And the whole thing.
Something important to mention about an external auditor is it's a very high level audit. It's not it's not an in the weeds detail audit, which is what the county clerk should be doing.
Right. The day to day, make sure all the invoices are correctly paid. Right. All right. Very good. Good answers. We're up against kind of a break right now. I think we'll take it now. It's a natural break. And when we come back, we have a lot more questions for these candidates.
Around here, we see a lot of people head out. No matter where they're going, we just help make sure they're ready. Before you hit the road, get a pre-trip safety check from Les Schwab Tires. It's free. Plus, this May, save up to $200 on select sets of four tires, including all-terrain, highway, all-season, and all-weather. So go ahead, explore with confidence. Les Schwab Tires. We're here to help you take the long way. Limited time offer while supplies last. See leschwab.com/sale for details.
If you've been saying you're fine, even when you're not, that's okay. You don't have to carry everything alone. At Kiniksu Community Health, you'll find real people ready to listen, real support for whatever you're facing, and real conversations that help. Whether it's stress, anxiety, grief, or burnout, we meet you exactly where you are without judgment. You're not fine, and that's fine. Visit kchni.org or call to book your appointment.
With fire season around the corner, now's the time to take a hard look at your property. Acree Enterprises is a third-generation, locally owned logging company helping North Idaho landowners reduce fire risk, improve forest health, and even generate income from their timber. We specialize in selective logging for 10 acres or more, not clear cutting, so your land looks better when we're done. Honest work, real results. Call Ruben today for a free property walkthrough. More info, acreforestry.com.
The Co-op Gas and Supply is your hometown propane, farm, home, and hardware store. When you come into the co-op, you can expect friendly, knowledgeable service with a smile. Our goal is to help you find what you need to get back to work or get back out on the road. Whether it's propane for your camping setup, off-road for the farm machinery, or fuel for your car or truck, we have you covered. Our hardware section is impressive, and so is our bulk hose, rope, and chain section. If you haven't gone through our housewares in a while, we think you'll be pleasantly impressed. And don't forget, we have clothing for work and play for both men and women. Check out our pet food and toy section for cats, dogs, and smaller furry friends. You'll find pharmaceutical products for all your pets and livestock, as well as treats and grooming supplies. It's all at the Co-op Gas and Supply Company, 125 Tibbetts Lane in Ponderay, 208-263-6820, and on the web at coopgasandsupply.com.
Your day doesn't happen in one place. With P1FCU, your banking goes wherever you go. Because your credit union should be there when you need it. Whether it's the branch right down the street or the one right in your pocket. Lock or unlock your card. Stay in control. P1FCU, better banking, right where you are. Learn more at p1fcu.org. Insured by NCUA.
News Talk 97.1.
Hey everybody, welcome back in. We've got it going on here in the studio. For you guys, we've got candidates Spencer Hutchings and Roger Rudd. They are competing with each other for your vote in the May primary. It's coming up May 19th in a couple of weeks. So you guys get to decide. That's the beauty of the whole process here in America. All right, so... you know, or you may or may not know that I worked for many years as Associate Director of Finance at a large university. And I found that one of my main jobs was finding and retaining, emphasis on the retaining, really good staff, getting strong staff and using them well and handling them effectively, if handle is the right word, manage, you know, inspire. So, Roger, I'm going to start with you. How do you, you know, maybe in your experience in the military, though they were all a part of the military, but you could still, you had to retain people. How do you see yourself retaining good employees and keeping them for the long term and holding them and they are happy to be there too?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. It goes back to the earlier question you were talking about with management skills. And yes, I say, you know, actually, it takes leadership, yeah, management and vision for the office. Continuity and stability is very important for the clerk's office. And so we're going to make sure that the roles that the folks are doing right now, and they probably already have them very clearly laid out for them, what's expecting them for the day and what kind of job we're going to get done through the week and how we're going to work the budget process. So if people have clear goals on what it is that they're going to be doing for their job performance, and the leader in the office is just encouraging everybody to do their best and making it a very favorable work environment, I think we'll be able to retain the good people that are there right now. Clerk Rosedale has spent the last 12 years of building a pretty good, strong office, and he's very confident. You know, he did an article a couple months ago with the Daily Bee about his retirement, stepping down, not filing a run again. And he said he's comfortable stepping down now because he's built such a good office of people that enjoy working in there and doing their business for the Bonner County residents. Yeah. So I think continuity and stability is very, very important with the folks that we have there right now.
All right. Spencer, same question to you. How do you propose to retain staff now and in the future, if elected?
Well, staff retention goes down to one thing, and that's, are they happy doing the job that they're doing? Are they in the right place? Are they doing a job that is actually is the job capable of being done by that person? Have they been assigned so much work that no person could possibly do it? Is the job challenging for their particular skill set? Do they feel like when they come into work every day that they're challenged, not to the point where it's difficult, but at least it's something that they look forward to doing, where they look forward to accomplishing whatever it is that they're set to do that day. Keeping them happy, you know, keeping the workload at a point where they're busy enough that the taxpayers are getting their funds out of this person, you know, they're getting their investment out of this person. that's a fine balance. And by spending time with these people and talking to them and learning how, not just, you know, reading about how they do their job, but actually spending time and watching how they do their job, you get a real good idea of how hard that person's working and how happy they are in their job. You know, if you have somebody that's miserable in their job, they're not going to do a good job. So you either need to find someplace else for them to, you know, some other role for them to take, or you need to adjust their role so they can be happy. But having a miserable person in a job never works out for the person, and it never works out for the citizens. So you got to make sure that they're happy, as happy as they can possibly be, well compensated as they can possibly be within the guidelines. And I think that's the key. And I think it's the key in county government. It's the key in private business too. You know, I had a long history of having multiple companies where employees followed me from one company to the next because I was a good person to work for, because I took care of them. And, you know, all my employees that I had, or most of my employees that I had, generally enjoyed working for me because I looked out for them and I made sure their job was doable and I made sure their job was enjoyable as it could be.
All right, keeping with you, Spencer, you know, okay, so we have lots of happy people that we want to retain, but I'm looking for areas that you think need to be improved for both of you, that look for areas that need to be improved or problems that you are aware of that need to be fixed. Spencer, we'll start with you.
If I had any one thing to pick on as a problem, it's the perception of the public of dealing with county employees. You know, it seems like a lot of people dread going to the county office and dealing with people, and I'd like to change that. I'd like it to be a more enjoyable experience, not only for the citizens coming in getting service, but I would like it to be better for the employees too. If the employees are happy in what they're doing, that's going to shine through in their work, and it's going to shine through to the citizens that they're doing services for.
So customer service,
absolutely.
Problem.
Well, it must be a problem, or we wouldn't hear so many complaints. So customer service is a struggle in every industry. It's not just the county. All industries struggle with customer service. And that's a issue of making sure that the people that are doing the job feel like they're being properly compensated, they're not being overworked, and it's a job that they can actually do that's a reasonable expectation is put upon them in their day-to-day activities.
Okay. Same question to you. It can be a different issue, a different problem, whatever. Roger Rudd, an area for improvement that you think that you are aware of and want to deal with.
So I am not aware of any improvement needs or requirements in the county clerk's office right now. I will tell you the forward-facing folks that work inside the recorder's office deal with Bonner County citizens on a daily basis. The folks in the elections office work with people on a daily basis, more so right now because we're in election season. Early voting's open at the county building, so you could go early vote right now. Customer service is very important, and serving people with the answers that you know that you're able to provide to them. If you're very comfortable in the clothes that you're wearing and the job that you're performing, you will provide a smile and the answer to the citizen that comes in asking for help from you because you know your job so very well. A big portion of the clerk's job is the 25 people that work inside the courthouse down there. Going inside a courthouse can be an intimidating experience for people. So we got 25 people down there. I think the courts need to be accessible to Bonner County citizens that have to go through that process, whether it be family court, criminal court, or whatever it is that they're walking in there. So the accessibility, those people need to be able to help the residents as they come down there and walk through the process of whatever it is that they got to go through. So I think the training requirements and depth of knowledge of all the employees will help them be their best at customer service support.
Well, I'll just say as a county resident, when I go in to pay my payroll taxes, they make me feel pretty good about my taxes. I don't know how they do it. It's something about the smile as they take the money. Anyway, okay. Keeping it with you, Roger. This is a question actually that someone made me think of, and so I want to ask it. I don't want everything to be happy clappy. You guys seem to be pretty happy about everything, but what do you look forward to being the county clerk? I mean, what is it that has drawn you into the fray, so to speak, to be the county clerk?
Shiny, happy people. We'll stay with the theme.
Exactly.
I wake up in the morning excited about the day. I have breakfast, pet the dog, do my prayers, my devotions. So life is good. And I want life to be good for all the employees that work in the clerk's office right now, or 40 or so folks. So I look forward to coming in. And, if I get elected, they end up being the clerk and just keeping a great work environment for the people in there that are doing the business of the Bonner County residents. The folks that do the auditing and do the records, the stuff that people don't see on a day-to-day basis are the important people that you want to keep motivated and happy.
Yeah.
I know when you get that stuck in your brain,
okay.
It just sticks there. You want people to be happy. You want them to smile.
I agree with it.
You want them to enjoy their job.
I was in that position for a long time. I wanted happy people.
Yeah. So that will be key for me, getting up, being happy myself, and going into a work environment and encouraging all the folks that work inside the clerk's office through leadership and a great vision of how we're going to perform for the county citizens.
All right. And Spencer, just to repeat it, what do you look forward to? That, you're in this race. What are you looking forward to in being the clerk?
I think I'm more looking forward to, and I already covered dealing with employees. I already kind of covered that part. And I look forward to doing that. Every person that you work with, every employee is their own unique person. And that's always fun to deal with all the different personalities. But what's more in my wheelhouse is the finance part of it. That's a lot of what I did for quite a long time when I used to build hospitals and run those big projects, is controlling money and controlling finance and auditing and seeing where all the money's going and make sure it's going in the right places. So I've got quite a bit of experience finding the money and making sure it's in the right spot. And I want to focus that experience in on the county one line item at a time and make sure that everything is going where it's supposed to be and all the tax dollars are being spent the way they're supposed to be being spent.
All right. Keeping it with you, Spencer, there has been some chat recently nationwide about returning to one-day voting. And I know this is not, a part of the election, but I'm just interested in your opinions, where there would be no early voting. There would be no absentee voting, except maybe for the military. But we would go back to one day. This is election day, and you're going to vote. Do you have an opinion on that, and what do you think about it?
I think that would be a much cleaner way to do it. There would be, it's a shorter time frame, so you're going to shove more stuff into a shorter time frame. But we've done it in the past, and there's no reason why we can't do it now. It's not like we're dumber now than we used to be. So we used to all vote on one day. I don't see why we can't do it again. And the early voting, the mail-in voting, all these things are stuff that people, they seem to pick out those things as something to focus in on as a potential problem, especially the mail-in voting stuff. People really don't seem to like that. They seem to think that there's a lot of shenanigans going on there. People voting
not
for
in Idaho. We don't have mail-in, but
right. But that's what other people focus in on.
Exactly.
That is where the shenanigans happen. Absentee voting. So the absentee ballots, the voting in person early. We should just have a voting day. Let's go vote on the voting day. Put the effort in, get it over with, and move on.
Right. All right. And the same question, Roger, to you. What do you have an opinion on one-day voting, going back to that, except for maybe, like I say, I'd make an exception for the military.
Yeah, one-day voting is not a bad idea. The one country that I read about that did it is France. It's got to be done nationally, and you could do it for the president, but I think all the down-ballot races would be extremely complicated to count at the end of the day. And the country that does the same day voting also has instituted that day as a national holiday. So in America, we unfortunately all have to go to work on that day, and you only get a few hours to go vote. And then when the ballot has 15, 16, 17 different things on it, it would be hard for your question was on same day.
Right.
Same day voting. So everybody could do that. It would just be more difficult in our country because we all don't have a national holiday.
I think having a national holiday would be the very thing to do.
But I have no problem with doing
that.
Yeah.
That would make it super accessible and super good.
Countries like Iran and Iraq Iraq does one-day voting. They do the purple thumb thing. They can get it done in a day, we can get it done in a day.
But That does. Anyway, yeah, well, that's Iraq. All right, that's going to bring us up to our next break. We're going to take that break. When we come back, we will have more questions and answers just for you.
Lena K. Realty has a commercial property listing with a price reduction down to $599,000. 350 feet of frontage on Highway 95 in Sagal. 3.25 acres and an approved ITD encroachment permit. Ready for your business vision includes a manufactured home, three beds, two baths, a small outbuilding, a barn, and a 40 by 40 shop. One Sagal water hookup included. Southern exposure and views of Baldy Mountain. See the professionals at Lena K. Realty. LenaKRealty.com.
Selkirk's Pend'Oreille Transit is your convenient and free local bus transportation. Hop on the spot stop nearest you. Hours are 6:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. with 40 stops 7 days per week serving Dover, Sandpoint, Kootenai, and Pend'Oreille. The map, schedule, and live bus tracking is available at spotbus.org. They are following FTA cleaning guidelines, keeping spot passengers and drivers safe. Again, visit spotbus.org to see spot schedules, map, and bus tracker. Selkirk's Pend'Oreille Transit is your convenient and free local bus transportation. See you on spot.
Have you been thinking of joining the YMCA? Well, spring is the perfect time. Every new member who signs up between April 1st and May 17th will have no join fee and will be entered to win 3 free months of membership. You get so much when you join the Y. You get access to all 5 local Inland Northwest YMCA locations, 2 free hours of child watch per day when you're at the Y, and you'll receive a handful of guest passes so that you can bring a friend. You also get nationwide access to YMCAs across the country when you travel. Are you already a YMCA member and thinking, hey, wait a second, what about me? Well, don't worry, I've got your back. All current YMCA members are automatically entered into a separate drawing for an additional 3 months of membership. That's right, there will be 2 lucky winners at each of our branches that will receive 3 months of waived membership fees to our YMCAs. Stop by your closest YMCA or visit YMCAIAW.org to join today. This is just another reason that there is no place like this place. The YMCA of the Inland Northwest is a local 501c3 nonprofit charity.
Being in Idaho's great outdoors is where I feel most at home. As a sportsman and father of 2 boys who also enjoy the outdoors, I believe Jim Woodward is the advocate we need to protect our natural resources and outdoor lifestyle. I'm Calvin Fuller, and Jim's vision for Idaho's natural beauty and responsible resource management is what we are looking for.
Vote Jim Woodward, May 19th.
I'm Jim Woodward, and I approve this message.
Panhandle Habitat for Humanity is building more than houses. They're building hope right here in North Idaho. This season, 4 local veterans were given critical home repairs, ensuring they have safe, warm places to call home. None of this is possible without you. Whether you donate, volunteer, or shop at the Habitat Restore, you're part of the solution. Every purchase, every gift, every hour of service opens new doors for families and neighbors in need. Together, we're building homes, hope, and a stronger Panhandle community.
Hey, everybody, welcome in. We do have it going on here today at the Speak Up table. We have candidates Spencer Hutchings and Roger Rudd. They are competing for the Bonner County Clerk's position, and you guys are going to get to make the decision this coming May 19th. That's coming up in just 2 weeks. It's called the primary election, where nominees, you know, for the Republicans and the Democrats, whoever, they get nominated, and then they appear on your fall ballot to represent that party. All right, so I have a question about innovation. We've been talking about how the current situation in the clerk's office is excellent with lots of happy people. I'm interested in knowing if there's some innovation, whether it's in management or training or something that you would like to implement at the clerk's office that you're thinking about, you know, talking to the county commissioners or whoever. I'll start with you, Roger. Innovation. What's on your mind?
Innovation. Technical question. I don't know if you were going to ask this question coming up, but I had a question presented to me at a forum about a deed being filed with the recorder's office, and my answer was that, you know, title theft, if it ever happens, it's not the recorder's position to try to say if it's been, you know, properly surveyed, or they're not fraud investigators. They can't do anything about it. So if a notarized deed comes into the office and it meets all the statutory requirements, if it's got a grantor, a grantee, and it's got the appropriate signatures, they're required by law to file it. So I had an answer for the lady there. But innovation-wise, there is something that I think that we can do with software that would automatically alert people that have deeds and other important information filed with the recorder's office, that if their name is drawn by the recorder's office in a computer system, it could automatically send them an email. So there's software out there that resides inside the recorder's system that we could do something like that with. Just cost some more money in a software licensing application that maybe we could look into to see if we could provide that for Bonner County citizens.
I like that. We get alerts now all the time, even from our bank or, who, it's a big deposit or more alarm. There's been a big withdrawal. I like that. Especially for deeds, if there's been a filing for your deed and you're the owner or the lien. You'd be alerted. What do you think of that idea?
That's a really good idea. It was brought up by one of the people at the forum. I think I was standing next to you when she brought it up to you. But it's a service you can subscribe to where they email you if your deed's been altered or, you were the last person registered with the deed and it's been changed. So, I remember that person bringing that up. It's a great idea. I think it's something we should do.
We could, as individuals, we can do that through, like, LifeLock or some of the different,
But the county can do it through a service. And then individual citizens don't have to do it.
Don't have to pay.
Yeah, having LifeLock is great, but, not everybody has it. Not everybody thinks to have it. And I'm sure a lot of people who don't consider having LifeLock are the ones that's getting victimized by this stuff because they don't know what happens.
Yeah.
But if the county were to subscribe to this service, then everybody would get an email when their title got messed with. And I thought that was a great idea.
I like it too. I think it's a really good idea. Thank you for bringing that up. I'm going to keep it with you for another innovation. Is there anything else you guys have thought of?
Well, I mean, for me, the innovation goes back to people and spending time with people and finding out how they're doing their job and what their job entails, and are they happy in their job? Because I think that's something that doesn't get done enough by most managers, especially in government. I think a lot of government managers tend to treat people as numbers instead of people, and I would rather treat them all as people. So I would like to innovate in treating everyone like a person and getting to know them and getting to know their job.
Well, I don't know how innovative that is. We've talked about
it. Well, anyway, that's for government, that is innovative. Don't try and say that's not innovative for government. We all know how much our government cares about people.
I'm going to keep it with you. I just thought of AI. First of all, what kind of AI do you envision being beneficial in the county clerk's office in the years to come, or a dangerous issue with AI? Spencer, I'll keep it with you and then go to Roger.
Well, anything that has to do with AI has benefits and hazards. Hopefully you can keep it on the benefit side of things, having it draft proposals or draft new rules, giving it a little bit of framework and letting it put a boilerplate together for you that then a person can actually edit and make sure it works for people, not just for computers. That's just on a very simplistic level. I'm sure there's lots of other things that can be done with it, but I will tell you right now, I don't really feel like being on the bleeding edge of that stuff. I would rather watch other counties do those things and see what pitfalls they run into before I jump into something like that. If I can learn from somebody else's mistakes, I will always take that opportunity rather than letting the people that work for me suffer through those mistakes.
Somebody else be the alpha.
Yeah, if they feel like doing it, that's okay with me.
Same question to you, Roger. AI, do you see that having a role coming up for good or for difficult?
AI is definitely going to have a role in just about everything that we end up doing in life. It's just now being rolled out in a mass way in different areas, different sectors of our lives. So AI could be developed as creating boilerplates and conversations and doing the grammatical checks for you. They could search the internet in the blink of an eye. So they're going to put Google out of business because if you ask AI a question, it's going to scan everything on the internet in the blink of an eye and give you a response with its sources. And there are very particular and specified AIs that are being created that will do specific things. So not all AIs are created equal. So you can have artificial intelligence that's created to you know, support elections or support an auditing function or support note keeping inside the commissioner's office. So there's different applications that may evolve over time.
And you'd be interested in looking at that.
Always interested in looking at everything.
All right.
I'm a human perspective.
I have another question. You're going to have about a minute each to answer, which is a pretty good length of time. I was just thinking about AI. I was thinking about outsourcing. Are there any areas that you would anticipate currently handled in the clerk's office that you feel need to be outsourced? Roger, I'll start with you.
So the blunt answer is no, because there's statutory responsibilities that are assigned to the clerk of the district court that also by ex officio becomes the chief financial officer and recorder. So you can't outsource stuff that law says that you must do as an unelected official.
Okay. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Same question. What about outsourcing as it relates to the clerk's office? Because I know county commissioners have got maybe a little more latitude that way.
Well, I don't think any sort of outsourcing clerk's office or anything else is healthy for those departments. I think it's just a cost-cutting measure that oftentimes ends up causing more heartache than it's worth. You know, we may save a few dollars, but we may harm customer service or the output of that particular department. I don't think outsourcing as a whole has done anything other than degrade the quality of service around the world in everything. And I think it's just a bad thing, period.
It's just
a way to save money.
Very interesting. All right. We are going to make that be the last question and answer for today's time with Spencer Hutchings and Roger Rudd. So we're off to the closing. And so, Spencer, I'll stay with you. Go ahead, say goodbye to our audience, and you can tell them how to be in touch with you, whatever you want to say. Say goodbye.
Okay. Well, thanks for having me here. I appreciate it, as always. I'm Spencer Hutchings. I'm running for a county clerk. I hope you guys will come out and vote for me on May 19th. I hope you would like to have somebody running the clerk's office who is an advocate for the citizens and not an advocate for more government bureaucracy, and somebody who will hopefully have the citizens' needs in mind all the time and emphasize that with the employees so that as you're being taken care of by the citizens, your fellow citizens in the clerk's office, that instead of treating you like a number, they treat you like you're their sister or their brother or their mother, and we can have a happy interaction. And I would love to see that. I'd love to walk into the clerk's office and just see happy people being serviced and writing us good Google reviews and saying the clerk's office is a 5-star. These guys are great. That's my goal.
5-star mission. How do people get in touch with you? Do you have a website?
Yeah, hutchingsforidaho.com. is the easiest place to get me. It's on Facebook too. Hutchings, the number 4idaho.com.
All right. And now Roger Rudd, talk to our audience and say goodbye, please.
Okay. Thank you, Barbara, for inviting us in. It's always a pleasure being on a radio with you, even though it's my first time. And I always enjoy sitting next to Spencer and having a conversation. I just want to leave your listeners with this. The Bonner County Clerk touches your life in ways most people don't realize. Your property records, your elections, your court system, your county finances. It's one of the most important offices on the ballot, and it deserves someone who has spent a lifetime being responsible for things that matter. I'm not a career politician. I'm a Marine, a grandfather, a neighbor. And Cindy and I, my wife, chose North Idaho because we love this place and the values that make it special. And I'm running because I want to protect those things for our kids or grandchildren who are growing up right here. The primary is May 19th. Early vote starts May 4th. I'd be honored to have your vote. And if you want to learn more about me, visit rudforclerk.com. Thank you for having me, and God bless Bonner County.
Excellent. All right. That's the program for today. And a sincere thank you to Spencer Hutchings and Roger Rudd for being with us. And hey, everybody, come on back next week. I'll be talking with Sandpoint Mayor Jeremy Grimm. Jeremy is helping us continue to celebrate America 250 with an in-depth discussion about one of his favorite founding fathers, John Adams. John Adams was a leader in the Revolutionary War. He was the first vice president under George Washington, and he was was the second president of the United States. And he had a wife, Abigail, who got in all of that business, and his son, John Quincy Adams, who was also a leader in America. So it's really quite an interesting family. John Adams said, "The Declaration of Independence laid the cornerstone of human government under the first precepts of Christianity." All right, until next week, this is Barbara. May God continue to bless America.